Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes, he tore his clothes, and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou now rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, he was ticked off, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he returned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we're thankful to you this morning again for your word. And we do pray, Father, that indeed, even as we have read this story, this account out of the Old Testament, that Father, you in your kindness and in your wisdom would bring forth a message that would be of edification and encouragement and rebuke if necessary. So Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. The deeds and the works of the Old Testament prophets Elijah and Elisha are quite readily known. Most of us, perhaps, who are seated in the audience or standing, such as I am this morning, have heard these stories over and over again as our mother or our father would read to us when we were little, and perhaps when we would pick up these Bible stories and read them for ourselves. We would see how Elijah was this great man of God who would take on the prophets of Baal and defeat them in a showdown, as it were, on a mountain in that land, in that area. How Elijah would call down fire, as it were, from heaven to consume a sacrifice and do all of these things. But we would also see the the humanness of Elijah as well. Elijah was a powerful man and worked miracles like no other. I mean, Elisha, of course, is his predecessor, but Elijah worked all of these miracles. But when he found out that the queen wanted to take his life, he ran for his life. And he found himself in a cave on a mountainside somewhere, and God came to him on that mountainside, and he said, well, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, well, I'm the only one left. I ran over here. All of your people have forsaken you, so I ran over here and I hid. And he then showed him all of these wonderful works, basically proving to him who he is, with an earthquake and with wind and with fire and all of these things. And then there was a still small voice. And you see, that's really what we come here to listen for this morning. We don't come here to hear, you know, great oratory type of sermon or some great speaker, if there was one standing here, which there isn't this morning. We don't come for any of that. We simply come to hear the still small voice of God as he speaks to us through his word. And I think there's no better story than this one here to illustrate that. Because Elijah, as you know, when he left from there, God said, okay, all right, Elijah, your ministry is now over. So you now go and you anoint these kings and you find this young, I don't know if he was young, you find this man named Elisha and you anoint him and he will now be prophet in your stead. And Elijah was taken up. You can read all of this in this first part of 2 Kings, where Elijah and Elisha take a little walk, and you can imagine the things that were going on there. But nevertheless, as they were talking and conversing along the way, and Elijah would tell Elisha, he would say, okay, you stay here now, I'm going to go on. And he said, no, I will not leave you, I'm coming with you. And so he followed him all the way to the River Jordan, and when they got to the River Jordan, Elijah told Elisha again, you must not come with me. And Elisha said, I will not leave you. So Elijah takes his mantle and he rolls it up and he strikes the water and the water parts, and Elijah and Elisha walk across the Jordan on the dry ground. And there on the other side of the River Jordan, the miraculous thing happens. And can you imagine? Elijah and Elisha are standing there, and all of a sudden a fiery chariot shows up with these horses pulling it. And Elisha says, my prophet, or my Lord, I think is how it's translated, the chariots of Israel. And this whole thing, this fiery chariot, picks up Elijah and whisks him away. And Elijah is left there standing alone. But prior to that, Elisha had said, when Elijah finally said, well, what do you want from me? He said, I want a double portion of the spirit that you have. And so Elisha told him something. He said, okay. He says, when I'm taken up, and if my mantle falls to the ground, you will get what you asked for. If not, you will not. Well, lo and behold, the mantle falls, and Elisha picks it up, and he walks to the River Jordan. And he says, where is God? And he strikes the water, and the water parts. Because God is with Elisha. And that's what this little maid recognized. You see, as we enter into the church this morning, you're probably not going to see any kind of miraculous events that will take place this morning. There's no prophet standing in this room or seated in this room like Elisha here this morning. But there is the Word of God. And that's what this little maiden girl recognized. The one who had been taken captive by Naaman himself, who was the leper, she recognized, she said, oh, if only Naaman, who was a leper, who had this great skin disease, if he could go there and stand before that prophet, he would recover him of his leprosy. He would heal him. And you see this morning, in parallel to this, this is what we look at this morning as well, as we consider whoever it is, but as we consider our own heart as well. Oh, that I could come here to church this morning and see the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. that I could hear about his blood that was shed for me and the forgiveness that belongs to me through him. If only I could hear his voice speaking to my own heart this morning. That's all I would need. The maiden girl who lived, who was with her captors, the ones who had came into her land and plundered her land through warfare, had come into this land of Israel, and they had taken this maiden girl captive, tells this great general of the Syrian army, if only you could stand before this man of God, this prophet who dwells in Samaria. And so lo and behold, someone hears her say this, and they go out and they tell the king of Syria, hey, there's a little maiden here that works for Naaman's wife. She said that if Naaman, your great general, would go and stand before this man of God, then he would be recovered of his leprosy. It would be taken away. And it's almost amusing what takes place here. Because the king says, all right, let's go. He tells Naaman, go, the King James says. In other words, it's a direct order. You go. Here's a bunch of money. Here's some clothes. You take these. You go to the king of Israel and you tell him this. And the king of Israel, upon hearing this, figures, well, what is going on here? I can't do this. Am I God that I could heal someone like this? And he takes it as like some sort of a precursor to war. He says he's picking a fight with me. Because there's a couple of things that are contrasted here. You have the faith of a little maiden who was captured and taken from Israel, and you have this king of Israel who has no faith at all. He was the king of Israel. These are God's people, God's chosen people, and he was chosen to be king over them according to his lineage. Here he sat, and he was the king, and he had no faith. He did not believe. Instead, he simply seen this on an earthly and carnal level. He said, look, the king of Syria wants to make war with me, so therefore he's bringing me this crazy thing. He's sending me his general who needs to be healed of leprosy simply because he wants to pick a fight with me. And Elisha says, upon hearing that he had tore his clothes, said, well, why did you do that? The king in verse 7, am I God to kill and make alive? That this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. But listen to the words of Elisha. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him now come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman goes to the prophet. He shows up at his door with all of his company, with his large assembly of soldiers, most likely, carrying all of these goods, but also having their weapons of warfare. And he stands at his door, and Elisha doesn't even come out. He doesn't even come out. He simply sends his servant. He tells his servant Gehazi, he says, go tell him to wash in the Jordan River 7 times and he'll be well. He'll be clean. Because the message of God, my friends, is a powerful message that is carried on the lips of all of his believers. Each one of us, as we live out our lives in this world, carry the message of God. It wasn't necessary for Elisha to come out and to perform some sort of ritual act. He simply spoke the word. Gehazi, you go out there and you meet this great Naaman and tell him he'll be healed if he does this. And Naaman wasn't very happy with that at all. Naaman figured, well, I demand a little bit more respect than that, don't I? I'm a general of one of the greatest armies that dwells on this earth at this point. We have subjugated Israel. We have put them into bondage. How dare he not come out and perform some sort of thing? At least wave his hand over me and the leprosy would go away. And so he takes off. He turns away from there in a fit of rage until his servants come to him. Because he says, well, man, I could have go to Abana or Pharpar, which is in the area of Damascus, much nicer rivers. The River Jordan is a muddy, you know, just a muddy river flowing. Why would I go dip in that thing? And at least I could go into my rivers and I would become clean. This one's nothing but mud. And his servants come to him after he had turned away in a rage, and they say, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than to simply wash, to simply do what he said? You see, there's a very powerful message from the words of these pagan servants. The pagan servants understand something here that is just astonishing. Naaman, who is this great man on his high and mighty horse, so to speak, although he's dealing with a leprosy, he's dealing with a disease that was very much a horrible disease of that day and age, wanted some sort of miracle to be done, some fantastic type of event to take place, but he would not simply listen to the words. And the servants who were there with him, they heard the words. They heard Gehazi say, well, listen, you know, the Elisha the prophet says, if you go to the River Jordan and you dip seven times, you will be clean. So they tell him, listen to what he's saying. Simply go to the River Jordan and dip yourself seven times and you will be clean. And the message of the Lord is the same for all of us. As he brings it forth through word and through sacrament, as we heard this morning already in the baptism of little Claire, this is the message of God. We don't need to question how, what, why, where, nothing. We simply hear the word of God as it is spoken over that little child and we believe it. God has received Claire through baptism, yes. Just like Naaman, very often we turn away in unbelief at these things. We begin to snub our nose and use our own human reason and intellect and try to figure these things out, that rather than simply understanding what the Word of God says. Naaman is very much embodies what we call unbelief. The king of Israel embodied unbelief. The servant girl embodies faith in these servants as well. They say, just listen, just listen, just listen to what he said. And so Naaman is convinced through the mouth, the still small voice of God, as it is spoken through a child, a young maiden, and his servants. He brings forth the message, and he goes to the Jordan River, and he dips himself seven times. And when he comes out of that river, he is clean. Can you imagine? I try to imagine this. Can you imagine this king, well, I suppose, I mean, not this king, this general, walk down to the edge of the Jordan River and say, well, I suppose it doesn't hurt. Six times, one time, twice, three, four, everybody's starting to count, right? Five, six, seventh time he dips under the water, comes out and looks wherever it was. It doesn't specify where it was, and it's gone. He's been changed. Everything has changed for Naaman in this story. If I was to read further, and I didn't this morning, everything changed for him. He knew immediately upon this, the revelation of God came to him, and he knew there is only one God. There's only one God, and he lives in Israel. That's what he thought. He lives in Israel. He's the only God that there is. There is no other God, because there's no other God that could ever do this. And this morning, I stand before you and I tell you the same thing. There's only one God who manifests or reveals himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And this morning, it is the name of Jesus Christ that we lift up before you and tell you this is the message that we bring to you. The message of Jesus Christ and his shed blood, how he has shed his blood for every one of you and has told you through his word countless times and in countless ways, your sins are forgiven. Salvation is yours. You are washed and made clean by my blood. Why don't you believe it? Why don't I believe it? Why do I think I have to gain some sort of experience? Or hear whatever it might be that I struggle with in my mind, why don't I simply believe what the Word of God says? Because too often I am like Elijah. At one time I'm on the mountaintop and I'm reigning with my God, and the next minute someone threatens me in some sort of way and I'm running like a scared puppy dog with my tail between my legs looking for the nearest hole to dive into and hide. And God comes and he finds us in those places still too. And he says, "What are you doing in here? Why are you hiding in there? Get out of there. Understand who I am." Elijah understood. Elijah didn't lose anything because of this. He was taken into heaven in a fiery chariot. You don't lose because you run in fear. You simply need to hear the word of God again. Understand what he does through his word and through his sacrament. Don't doubt it. The church has become divided over this because we doubt all of these things. We begin to question them and reason about these things and cause all kinds of distress. Instead of simply hearing what the Word of God says, when he says, "This is what it is, I bring these little children to you." Jesus, or these people brought their little children to Jesus, and he said, "Here they are, I receive them just like they are." Or you and I who are a little older this morning, who are questioning things in our own lives, or questioning perhaps the Word of God as it is spoken to us clearly and plainly out of his scriptures, which tells us to simply believe. Go dip in the River Jordan 7 times and you will be clean. Now, I'm not telling you this morning to make a trip to Israel. I'm telling you to simply hear this message and believe it. Your sins are forgiven through the name and shed blood of Jesus Christ. He has promised this in his word over and over again. I really appreciate it as we listen to the psalm being read. He keeps his covenants forever. If I would have read for you out of Timothy this morning, it would have said there, it would have clarified that point very clearly. We may deny him, but he will never deny us. Never. Naaman's overjoyed. He returns to the man of God. He's a changed man. And he says, "Well, you need to take something from me. Take a blessing." And Elisha refuses. Now, should he refuse? I think Elisha was teaching Naaman here a lesson, and us as well. Elisha said, "This isn't from me. this miracle that just took place, this isn't my doings. I am simply just a prophet of God. I speak forth His word. I do His bidding, and that's all. To Him only is the glory and praise. I receive nothing from this. And he said, well, no, come on, you should really take this. I mean, clothing in the ancient world was huge. Most people in the ancient world had one change of clothes, and that's it. We don't even understand what it would be like to have someone come and offer you 10 pairs or change the raiment. We have closets full, so that means nothing to us. In the ancient world, that was rich. And money, gold and silver beyond your wildest dreams. He could have had all of this money, and he said, I don't want none of it. Because it's not about money, and it's not about clothes. It's about a changed heart and a changed person. You see, this is what we come here to church to hear. We come because we're like Naaman very often. We want something different, but instead he simply tells us, you go down to the river Jordan and you bathe there 7 times and you will be clean. We come here to church and we hear the same message over and over and over again. It is about Jesus the Christ who was crucified, who rose again, who has cleansed you and made you clean. You are His. Come to Him as you are. And He'll receive you just like He received little Claire. It's an amazing, amazing God that we serve, who would give to His church not only the gift of His word, but the gift of His sacraments as well. That we could rejoice in baptism and in the Lord's Supper and hear the simple words of God as they're brought to us throughout this word, and be like Naaman, turn from the prophet of God's house and make our way, walk out of the church this morning and know that we are clean. Know that the word of God is true, and what it says in its message is truth. And Jesus the Christ has indeed come and purchased me, and He lives and He reigns and He rules even yet today. And He will for the rest of our lives and into eternity. Because He is indeed the only God. There is no other God in all of the earth. There's only Jesus. And so He refuses the gift, because it's God who gets the glory. As I've told you before, I said this at the conventions, but I said it's not about us as speakers. One man said it like this, and Elisha, he illustrates this very well. One man said, someone came up to him after a service and they said, good sermon, Pastor. And he said, or no, how did they say that? Not good sermon. I got to remember how this goes now. But he said, along those lines, good sermon, Pastor. And he said, yeah, I don't really care about that. I don't really care about that. I don't care about you telling me good sermon, in other words. It's not about that. What's better is that was a good word, because that was the word of God. Or what a mighty God we serve. Isn't Jesus the greatest? Isn't His cleansing blood the message? May God help us as we live in this world to always remember to believe and to trust His word, to follow after what He says, to hear and listen to the still small voice, even in the midst of the storm. May God be with you all. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You again this morning for Your word. We thank You, Father, that You indeed reveal Yourself in so many different passages, because this word is Your story. It's Your message to us that You have spoken through the mouths of these prophets, through the mouths of Your apostles, and Father, through the mouth of your Son. So even this day as we come here, as we close this service, we thank you, Father, for all of these marvelous gifts, for the gift of your word, for the gift of your holy sacraments, for this opportunity that we have had this morning even to gather here and fellowship around your word. And you pray your blessing, Father, upon all who have gathered here. Even as we leave from this place, we would walk confidently as your children, knowing that we are cleansed, we are made whole. So therefore, Father, we are your own. So bless us with that knowledge that indeed, Father, you know those who are yours. And help us as we live out our lives here in this world to always follow you and to listen to your word and to heed it. We ask all of this for Jesus' name's sake. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.